Marissa and George's relatives.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, you might have seen that scheduled is Heath Carter to speak with us this morning. I am afraid Heath has COVID and so isn't able to be here. So Andrew and I are here. And we appreciate you going along with us enthusiastically throughout this morning. Just to give a brief introduction to ourselves and the Reverend Dr. Andrew Scales. This is his ninth year with Princeton Presbyterians, the campus ministry for students in Princeton. And I am the associate pastor for faith formation and mission and outreach here at Nassau, along with working with Princeton Presbyterians. And we're just grateful to be with you this morning. So let's open with a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for this day where we can come and be together in prayer and in hope for the future. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to turn it over to Andy.
Okay. Well, at about 5:30 last night, Len and I got the call we'd be leading adult ed, and we said, write what you know. And so, and we know and love the Tazay community, so you're stuck with us this morning. We're going to talk about and introduce you all a little bit to the Tazay community this morning, and we're going to invite you to sing with us. So the Tazay community is an ecumenical monastic community. Ecumenical means bringing together different branches of the Christian faith in dialogue with each other. It's monastic, meaning that there are brothers who live in community together, and they welcome young people from all over the world who make pilgrimage throughout the year. And so at one time, you might see thousands of young people from Germany, South Korea, Kenya, the United States, all over the world, praying and worshiping and working together. And I want to talk as a way of introduction about someone that we met when we made the trip to Tazay in 2018 in the summer. We met a young adult from Kenya named Mona Lisa. And she fell in with our small group in the afternoon, and we would read the Bible together and pray with each other. And we really loved Mona Lisa. She became kind of a honorary member of our pilgrimage. And Mona Lisa is from Kenya, as I mentioned, and she works in healthcare. And one of her major works of advocacy is she was working on building a bank of blood donations for mothers who had had complicated births in Kenya. And so kind of building up resources for new mothers and their health when they had a difficult childbirth. And she also taught us to sing one of the Tazay songs in Swahili. And so we're going to sing together what she taught us. And so I invite you to take one of these songbooks and go to number 23. And one of the beautiful things about Tazay is that they sing sometimes a line from scripture or something very simple from the Christian tradition, and they'll put it to music in just a couple of bars, and we'll sing it together, repeating together. And they also write the music in different languages. So depending on the week, if they have people from Portugal, they'll sing in Portuguese. If they have people from mostly from Germany, they'll sing in German. If they're from, when I was there as a seminary student, we had a group that had come from the Lakota reservations in North Dakota, and they helped translate some of the Tazay songs into Lakota Sioux, and we were the first group to sing those songs. And so that was a really exciting experience for me. But we are going to sing this song. It's written in Latin at the top, Laudate Omnes Gentes, praise God, all you peoples. But if you look down at the bottom, there is in bold a type that starts with Sifuni Watu Wote. Take a moment and look there at the bottom. Try to find where it says below, there's a section that's in Swahili. It says Sifuni Watu Wote. And I'm going to invite you to repeat after me. It's a very simple song. It's Sifuni Watu Wote.
Sifuni,
Sifuni Mwenyezi.
Sifuni.
Let's try it again. Sifuni Watu Wote.
Sifuni Watu Wote.
Sifuni Mwenyezi. Sound lovely. I'm going to sing it once and then invite you to join in singing with me. So it goes, Sifuni watu wote, Sifuni Mwenyezi, Sifuni watu. Hang on just a second. It repeats, but it goes, hang on, I'll invite you to come in. So it goes, Sifuni watu wote, Sifuni Mwenyezi, Sifuni watu wote, Sifuni Mwenyezi. Join with me. Sifuni watu wote, Sifuni Mwenyezi, Sifuni watu wote, Sifuni Mwenyezi. Let's sing it one more time. Sifuni watu wote, Sifuni Mwenyezi, Sifuni watu wote, Sifuni Mwenyezi. Oh, beautiful. That's from Psalm 117. Praise God, all you peoples. Praise the Lord. And we sang it in Swahili. Len, I'm going to turn it over to you now.
So we also wanted to share just what a week in Tazay looks like. So most young people who come to Tazay come for a week as pilgrims with a group. And there's prayer three times a day, in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening, all together. And part of that prayer time is singing songs like this in languages that are representative of those who have come that week to Tazay. Also, we have times of silence. So there's a scripture reading and then silence where a sermon would be as a way of giving space for the Holy Spirit to move and everyone to listen together, which when you're in a room with, 2,000 young people being completely in silence, is pretty impressive and meaningful. There's shared meals and work, so everybody has a chore. They're part of a chore team, because part of the way Tazay is able to welcome young people, as many as want to come from around the world, anywhere from several hundred kind of in the off season to several thousand at the height of the summer, is because everybody's a part of keeping that the community going. So you're either stirring a big vat of mashed potatoes, you're helping clean toilets, or you're handing out prayer books at worship or cleaning up. There's some chore for everybody. You're also split up into small groups hopefully you're with groups that are not the same people you came with, but they do break them up by general age groups and then language. And if there are multiple languages in a group, they always try to have somebody that is a pilgrim for the week who is comfortable translating, from maybe English into French or German. And it's a shared experience where everybody is in it together. The rhythm of worship for the week, it kind of, every week is Holy Week in some ways. And so every Friday, there's a special service Friday evening for prayer, where it's prayer around the cross. So a sense of Good Friday. And then a Saturday evening, there's a special candlelight service as you wait for the Easter resurrection. And so every week, the community is going through these rhythms together. It is also the one place in the world where Catholics, Protestants, and Greek Orthodox all share in communion together, and that is blessed from all of the governing bodies of those organizations as well, so that it's a place of reconciliation, a place of ecumenism, a place of peace, but it's also a place where people are prepared to go back into their communities and serve as well. Yeah. And I'm going to turn it back over to Andrew. Yeah.
You may have heard me and Len talk a little bit about the history of Tazay. Tisay is really a post-war phenomenon, or it came up during World War II. So Roger Schutz and his sister Genevieve, Roger was a seminarian in Lausanne, Switzerland. And when he finished his seminary studies, he rode his bicycle from Geneva, Switzerland, to the border of Vichy-occupied France, to the border of Nazi Europe and Free Europe. And he moved into this town called Tisay, which is just, the name Tisay is just the name of this medieval village in France. It doesn't have another meaning. And it was just down the street from a town that's called Cluny. Now, Cluny is one of the most famous medieval monasteries. It was a way station, a place of pilgrimage, but also a way station as people made their pilgrimages to Santiago de Compostela in Spain. I know that the Nassau Youth Group has gone on the Camino, that path in Spain, but if you were coming from Northern Europe, you would often come to Cluny. And it was also, Cluny was a place of monastic reform. It was a part of the reform of the church in the medieval era. Brother Roger, or at the time just Roger Schutz, he and his sister moved just outside of Cluny. They bought a house together, and they devoted themselves to prayer and to welcoming refugee families. So people fleeing Nazi-occupied Europe, both Christian and Jewish families, came to Tisay, and it was a place where they helped people escape into free Europe. And so that was the work that they were doing for 2 years. And then the Gestapo, the German secret police, learned about their activity. So Burgundy was an area of resistance activity, a hotbed of resistance activity to the Nazis. And Roger and Genevieve fled to Tisay for 2 years, and then they returned in 1944. Brother Roger continued his work in Tisay and gathered seminary friends to live and participate in a life of prayer and work and contemplation. And they wrote what's called a community rule, which is something that monastic communities do together. You may have heard of the Rule of Benedict from the 6th century that sets out the common life that people share together when they become monks or nuns. He wrote a Rule of Tisay in the winter of 1952 into 1953, and they took vows together to live with one another. One of the things that the brothers did in the post-war period was that many of the people who worked in agriculture in the surrounding farms of Burgundy had died in the war, and so the brothers actually tended farms so that people had enough to eat. And so the brothers have always been invested in pairing worship with work, physical labor, as well as the work of reconciliation, the spiritual work of reconciling and bringing people together in post-war Europe. One of the things also that happened was in the 1950s, young people began coming to Tisay, mostly from different countries in Western Europe, primarily France and Germany. And so even people who had been child soldiers in World War II for the Germans found themselves coming to Tisay to find a place of peace and reconciliation and dialogue. One of the things that was monumental in the 1960s for the Catholic Church was a council called Vatican II, or the Second Vatican Council. If you haven't heard of that, it was what Pope John the 23rd called an aggiornamento, or a bringing up to date in Italian, an idea that the Catholic Church had work to do to engage with the modern world. And so they brought together bishops from all over the world to meet in Rome for 3 years. And they also surveyed, this was the first global survey of the Catholic Church. And so they asked lay people living in Brazil, in China, in Western Europe, in Africa, they asked people what their deepest needs were and concerns were as people of faith in the modern world. And this was really a response to that engagement with the global church. And so there are all of these documents that bring about these massive reforms in Catholicism. And so moving, for example, from a mass that was entirely in Latin into vernacular languages. And so my mom grew up Catholic, German Catholic around Chicago. She grew up going to Latin Mass. And then when she was a child, when she was in elementary school, they switched to German language and English language masses. And that was a profound shift in understanding what was going on in worship. There's also an idea that the church's power derives from the body of Christ as the laity, that the church has gifts in individual members, and that it's not only the priests and the bishops and the archbishops that have something to do with living out the Christian life. It's everyone that's involved in the Christian life. Everybody has a calling to live out their vocation as disciples of Jesus. And then another part of renewal was the Catholic Church's recommitment to ecumenical dialogue. And so if you grew up in the 50s or the 60s, really, especially in the United States, Catholics and Protestants really treated one another as if they were different religions. And in Vatican II, there was a renewed openness to the idea that Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith together. And so there was this flowering of engagement and dialogue across Protestant and Catholic communities, and a sense that we may have very big differences that articulate how we live out our faith, but we are together in Christ. And Tizay really latched onto that spirit of Vatican II. And Brother Roger believed very deeply that young people, Catholic and Protestant and Orthodox, could talk together, live together, worship with one another, and in their dialogue, a renewal of the church could happen globally, that people would have a new understanding that we are neighbors together, living out the Christian faith with one another. Len, will you let me look. Is it time to sing again? Okay, let's sing again. Yeah, we're going to sing one of our favorite Tizay songs in the Breaking Bread community that meets here as Princeton Presbyterians on Sunday nights. It's number 17, and you'll see that the language that is accompanying the notes is Catalan, one of the languages in Spain around Barcelona. We are going to sing it in English, and it's known as In the Lord I'll Be Ever Thankful. And so if you look down, you can see, so if you're in Tizay and they tell you what language they're going to sing in, you look down and find it as the lyrics, and then you sing along with the notes. And so we're going to sing in English. It's In the Lord I'll Be Ever Thankful, In the Lord I Will Rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. I'm going to start us and sing it through once, and then I invite you to sing it twice with me. So it goes, In the Lord I'll be ever thankful, in the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Together. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful, in the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. One more time. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful, in the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Thank you, everybody. We're going to invite you to pair and share and talk about two questions. So turn to a neighbor or gather in groups of three, and we're going to ask you two questions. What was your experience singing this song? So what was it like to sing a new song together? And then what are some songs that are meaningful to your faith when you sing in community, in your community, whether it's Nassau or growing up or wherever it is that you feel like you came from? What's a song that's been really special to your formation as a person of faith? So turn to one another, and we'll take a couple minutes and talk to each other. Okay. Rana, may I sit with you?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Here, I'm going to turn off. You'll turn off my. then tie off that last thought. Well, Len and I had a lovely conversation with Francis and Rainer about some German carols and Easter hymns that are really special to him. And we talked about singing in different languages. And Francis shared some of the English translations of those carols that she grew up singing. I'm curious what you all talked about. Does anybody want to share what their group discussed about singing, things that are special to you, or what it was like to try a Taizé song together? Thomas. Yes.
An antidote to the world.
Yes.
The opposite of what the world with the conflict and all of that. Maybe I'll just speak up because the.
Yeah.
She didn't use the word antidote, but, basically something different, a different way of being, a different way of thinking.
Yes. So silence as an antidote to some of the world's ills, a way of, an alternative of listening and being together. Yeah. I like to think that when I grew up, I was taught that praying was always talking to God, bringing something from myself to God. But I think Taizé helped me learn that prayer can also be listening for God, and that silence can be just as much a part of prayer as speaking to God. It's a beautiful thing, as Len said, to have thousands of young people together listening for God's voice. Yeah, it's a very different experience than our daily lives, isn't it? Thank you.
Is this thing working?
It is. I think I saw Bob's hand up, and I saw Carol's hand up. Yeah. Here, let's get that mic. Let's get that mic, too. We want to hear you.
We just acknowledge that the hymn or the piece that you assigned was familiar because we have sung that here at Nassau.
Yes. It's one that we've used. Noel Werner has been a lovely partner in grafting in some of the music of the Taizé community into our worship life together. Absolutely.
But we don't repeat it 20 times.
We don't do it 20 times. That's right. Yeah, just a handful. That's right. Marshall, we've got you like Donahue. You got to get down on one knee. And yeah.
Thank you for dating.
I'm an 80s baby. Yeah.
Makes us all feel better. I was thinking, not only does the silence slow us down, but the music slows us down.
Yeah.
You know, it's gentle. Mm-hmm. It just makes you pause, and when you are singing in a language that you're not familiar with, that also slows you down.
Yeah.
In some ways, it makes you take more account of the words you're singing.
Yes. It's a contemplative practice. I like to think, too, when we gather in small groups, you may have somebody from Spain and from Holland and from Russia and from the United States, and some of us may speak a little German or a little bit of Spanish or a little English, and we're all working together to make ourselves understood. And I think actually that's a very humanizing experience, that we have to work that much harder to see each other as our neighbor. And there's something really lovely that there's some humility that comes from that. Yeah.
I think the closest I ever came to the Taizé experience was 50 years ago up at the Trapp Family Lodge in Stowe, Vermont, when Maria was still alive. She gathered all the guests of the lodge, explained the Austrian traditions of Christmas, where they did not sing carols, Christmas carols, until Christmas Eve. Prior to Christmas Eve, they only sang Advent carols.
Yes.
And then she led us down the hallway singing, O Come Emmanuel. And then we got to the Christmas tree with live candles on it, and we sang, she led us in singing Heilige Nacht, Stille Nacht.
Oh my goodness.
Silent Night, first in German, then in English, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
What a beautiful festive experience. Yeah, it sounds like that was a sense of community in celebrating Christmas, Advent and Christmas. Beautiful, thank you, Ed. Yeah, Nate. Yeah.
I did. Just another layer on the question of silence and the music and how these things, I think, mess with our sense of time and engagement, different modes of engaging with the world and reality, is Lorraine also mentioned just all the conflicts in the world.
Yes.
And the sense of the weight of that and the sense of responsibility, and surely we must do something about all the conflicts in the world.
Right.
And there's this paradoxical sort of vision, I think, in Taizé, of reconciliation being such a core priority for the community, and yet there's a sense in which the call to that community is a call to lay these things down, to let go of them, or to engage them in a different register through silence and through the music. And then this I think profound vision of in the entering of the silence, in the entering of this, you know, kind of over the top repetition, some might that there is a that in and of itself is one of our most profound acts of resistance against the conflicts of the world. It becomes a manifestation of reconciliation in this way that goes against maybe our Protestant work ethic of like, no, we must do something about this.
Sure.
This is the thing to do that is coming at it in a completely different register, which I think is notable and profound.
And I think, Nate, that brings to mind, too, that it gets us outside of our own comfort zones and our own assumptions. And so I think oftentimes we are so focused on Christianity as American Christianity and as expressed in the United States. And when we went, Isabella went with us 2 summers ago, and there was a young adult who was a refugee from Syria living in Germany, and had come to Taizé. Was it with a church group or was it with? It was with her school. That's right. And so this was a profoundly new experience for her, but also her experience of Christianity is radically different than being in suburban New Jersey, worshiping together. And even the concerns and the things that we feel that we need to fix or get on top of, there's a global church. The church truly is a worldwide community of people who have their own concerns and hopes and dreams. And that dialogue really helped us kind of expand and grow in our understanding. Yeah. Kathy.
Thank you, Anne. Our group did something a little different. We got interested in the different scripts that we saw at the bottom, and we went to the beginning of the version that at least we had a couple of different dated ones, I think 2019 and 2024, where there was a list of each language and then which numbers had the words for that particular language. Mm-hmm. And first off, there were many more scripts than we could recognize, which gave us a sense of the ecumenical nature of this. And also looking at the difference between 2019 and 2024, we could see how more had been added of different languages and also more examples in languages that they already had. We got on that because the one that we had just sung had Arabic across the top because it goes in the other direction, but it wasn't in the earlier one. And so we could see how they are continually working to do that ecumenical thing. And then we imagined us all sitting there, everybody singing in a different one of those languages at the same time. It was really a beautiful thought.
Yeah, that's lovely. And I think that sense of continuity, of being rooted in a common tradition, but also always reforming. There's something really beautiful about expanding the sense of welcome and accessibility and engagement. And I think that's a lovely segue, Kathy, to some of the theological themes that we are going to talk about with Taizé. And Len's going to share about a concept that's called the dynamic of the provisional. And that sense of the language is expanding is a lovely way to lead us into that.
Yeah, and seeing our time, I think we will just talk about the dynamic of the provisional for now. But always happy, Andrew and I, to chat with you more about the others. Always like to say, as we end a session of adult ed or a small group, it's just a pause in the conversation. It's not a full stop. So it's something we can always continue. But the dynamic of the provisional is something Brother Roger wrote a small pamphlet about, and it's the sense that every person that comes to the community is bringing a gift with them, a unique gift, that the Holy Spirit is coming alongside with each new person. And the way we think about that in campus ministry is that each person, each student that comes is bringing their own gifts to the community, their skills, their ideas, but also their sense of what the wider world needs, that we can better understand what is needed and better approach serving our community when we do that together. An example in Tazay is, you know, they have brothers that are musicians and brothers that are visual artists, brothers that are academics, brothers who help translate things, brothers who help with the garden, all kinds of different skills. And one brother was a stained glass artist, and he made the stained glass that if you go to the Church of Reconciliation, you can still see down the sides, but the south-facing wall, when they first built it, had a huge stained glass window in it. A year later, they realized that there were going to be thousands of more young people coming for Easter than could fit in the space. And so as a sense of the dynamic of the provisional, of what do we need to do to change, to be ready for the people that are coming, to honor their gifts and the needs of our community, they decided to tear down that huge stained glass wall to expand the building. It wasn't because they didn't honor that brother's work or think it was beautiful, but it was a sense of the community's needs were always changing, and how do we honor the community as it is while still giving thanks for the gifts that have come before us. So that's something we like to think about, particularly in campus ministry, as we're adapting and seeing, you know, a quarter of our congregation, if you want to say, you know, turnover every year. That there's a kind of a fast turnover when you're working with college students because of time. But it's also true in all congregations. And so the question we want to leave you all with is for you to consider, what gifts do you bring Nassau Presbyterian Church? What gifts do you have to offer the community? And how might the community change because you are here? So that's just a question for you to take with you this week and to ponder. And there's a quote here from Brother Roger that says, "Everyone bears within themselves a great inner theme. Let it sing out again and again. No use looking elsewhere. From it is born a continual creation." Everyone bears within themselves a great inner theme. So what is the theme that you bring and that you offer and that we can hold with welcome, abundant welcome, and honor as a community? And with that, I think we'll close with one final song.
Yeah. So, like Tazay, we have an international gathering today. I know that I figured Rainer would be here, and so I thought we'd close with a German Tazay song. And it's number 137. And in English, it means, "Guard me or shelter me, God. I trust in you. You show me the way to life. With you is joy, joy in all its fullness." And I'm going to try to use my German a little bit, but if you repeat after me, it's "Behüte mich Gott, behüte mich Gott, ich vertraue dir, du zeigst mir den Weg zum Leben. Bei dir ist Freude, Freude in Fülle." You're ready to go to Tazay. I'm going to sing it, and then I'll invite you to sing twice with me. So it goes, "Behüte mich, Gott, ich vertraue dir. Du zeigst mir den Weg zum Leben. Bei dir ist Freude, Freude in Fülle." Let's sing together. "Behüte mich, Gott, ich vertraue dir, du zeigst mir den Weg zum Leben. Bei dir ist Freude, Freude in Fülle. And again. Behüte mich Gott, ich vertraue dir, du zeigst mir den Weg zum Leben. Bei dir ist Freude, Freude in Fülle. Amen. We've sung in Swahili, English, and German today. Not bad. Thank you all, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your Sunday and a good beginning to Advent. We also, please don't keep these. We use these. You can only get these in Tizay. I wish you could keep them, but maybe we'll bring a whole suitcase back next time we go to Tizay. But please put them in the purple bin as you go out, and we'll use them at Breaking Bread. So glad that you joined us. Thanks for bearing with us.
And next week... Yes, there are Christmas cards, there are Advent calendars. Next week we will be back, at least we plan to be back to our regular scheduled programming. So Kimmy Bo will be with us. She's the artist in residence at the Overseas Ministry Study Center this year, and we're excited for her to bring her experience and her art to our community next week. So thank you so much, and I look forward to hearing from you what gifts you bring, and I appreciate seeing them each in action as we go throughout our life together. Amen.
I've had to say that comment about